This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number two here of VSiN Prime Time. Matt Brown, Keith Irizarry, as we roll along here, baseball getting going. We have some plays that we're about to start sweating as well. So hopefully you guys got those in the account, and hopefully we have some winners coming your way. But right now, we're going to go to the Westgate VP of Risk Management and Jeff Sherman. Let's head behind the counter.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
As I said, Jeff Sherman here of the Westgate. Jeff, I want to kick things off here with what's been going on over in the NBA. And, of course, the crazy news, at least for me today, with the whole waiving of Dame Lillard, the signing of Miles Turner and all of that. Were you guys having to make contingencies as to what you wanted to do with the line with the thought that Giannis was going to be on the move today? I mean, we got this tease from Shams yesterday that there was going to be major stuff going on and all kinds of craziness. I just assumed that meant that he had intel that Giannis was going to be on the move. And instead, it's quite the opposite, that the Bucks aren't going to give up. They're going to fight back here. Were you guys thinking kind of like I was, that he was going to be on the move and you had to be quick on the trigger as to what to do with all the odds?
You know, he wasn't one guy that I thought would be moved this early. I thought there's still more of an evaluation process on his end. So I was sitting there at 80-1 on Milwaukee and not looking to drop him real quickly based on what was going to go on today, unless that obviously happened. But I was shocked about the Miles Turner transaction. You know, everything was leading to him negotiating with Indiana, staying with that team, and maybe getting past this year of missing Halliburton. But that came as a shock, and I did drop Milwaukee down to 50-1 after that transaction. And, you know, they re-signed some of their players, and they're trying to convince Giannis to stay there and make some other trades possibly to improve their roster.
What teams, Rockets, Nuggets are starting to make moves. The Knicks are obviously a sexy team. What team are you seeing lots of money come in on?
Well, today it was Denver. You know, we were sitting 16-1 yesterday on the Nuggets, and they were pretty aggressive. And I think, you know, they made that trade with getting Cam Johnson, giving up Michael Porter Jr. in the unprotected first round pick. But the surprise to me was bringing Bruce Brown back on a minimum deal. You know, he's been a fan favorite, had a great role there when they won the championship. So I think that's the thing that got all the bettors excited, was those two in conjunction. And they continued it today, adding Valanciunas, not giving up anything, losing Dario Saric, who just sat on the bench all season, and then adding Tim Hardaway Jr. And, you know, he's good for, he can put up 20 points here and there off the bench. So, you know, they really made some nice moves. So they dropped from 16. I initially went to 9 on him, and then adding Tim Hardaway Jr., I went down to 8.
Yeah, I think they're having an absolutely fantastic offseason. As we sit here, everybody wondering what the Lakers are going to do. DeAndre Ayton still sitting out there. Everyone just assumes that that is going to be what goes on with all of this. Where are we at with the Lakers right now? And does that make a difference if they do or do not sign Ayton?
Yeah, that's the assumption. You know, it's interesting because with Miles Turner leaving Indiana, and DeAndre Ayton almost got traded to Indiana before. So maybe they're going to be aggressive to try to replace Turner and fill that hole. So the Lakers might have some competition there, but the expectation is that he still would go to LA, choosing that. I'm sitting at 16-1 right now. All they've done is get Jake LaRavia so far, lost Dorian Finney-Smith. I wouldn't make any alterations if they got Ayton. I think right now the 16-1 is awfully short in relation to the other teams that have made some aggressive moves. I think the Lakers should be sitting about 25 right now, but we don't need to go that high because we always see Lakers support. So if they do get Ayton, I'll sit at 16 until I actually get some money to show up.
Jeff, how about rookie of the year? The odds on favorite is Cooper Flagg. So where are people turning to try to get some value?
Yeah, that's one market that we haven't got up yet. We've got the MVP up, but usually I wait for rookie of the year till after summer league because it's so fluid and you get so much response game to game in that aspect. So we've just traditionally waited till after the summer league to post those odds, but I would expect it to see, with Cooper Flagg being so short odds on favorite, you tend not to get too much support at that. I think Ace Bailey might get some because he's going to get a lot of playing time in Utah.
And with the numbers that you have out there right now, is there anybody at a massive number, any of these 50, 100, 150, 200 that anybody's taking a stab on right now?
We've actually got some support for Jalen Williams for MVP. We had him at 400-1, and somebody had requested $1,000 on that, but that's a little bit more than we take for an MVP market. So we gave a bet, and he also betted at 300, so we currently sit at 200, but that's been the initial movement in the MVP market is the good Jalen Williams on Oklahoma City.
Look at that. You will be a fan of him having a good season, but not a great season.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, so let's head out to the John Deere on the golf side of things. We see this past week, we get into the three-person playoff. We were talking a little bit before we came on air where, I mean, everybody was getting at that course last week in Detroit. I mean, half the field just absolutely nuked that course. I think we expect another week of super, super low scores. So what type of golfer, what type of profile were you looking at this week?
Yeah, we're going to see another low one. You know, we set the winning score at 262.5, which is 21.5 under par. So it's going to be another putting contest. And that's what you have to look for, these guys that can go aggressive and, you know, whoever's going to get the putts and put themselves in position on those putts too. So I've only gotten involved in one myself, and that's Kevin Yu at 35-1. Like the way he's been playing, got some good course history here. But I would look for somebody this week, probably in the 30-60-1 range. I think that would be a good portfolio to have from, you know, Ben Griffin, 16-1, the obvious starting point at it, but I usually don't get behind guys in that type of range. And then when you get deeper, if you go over to 100-1, then you're just throwing darts. So my recommendation would be in that 30-60-1 range to find a winner in.
All right, so then how about Danny McCarthy? You mentioned the putting. He's an excellent putter. He's had some success lately. 25-1 to win the whole thing. I didn't like that one. I was looking at top 10 at plus 320. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, he's finished top 10 the last 3 years on this course. So, you know, and the odds are obviously accounted for him being the second favorite at 25-1. You know, he's ready to break through here any minute. So I definitely like the leeway that you're going with there. Top 10, maybe top 20, even a little bit more leeway. You know, it's tough to get a win here. We might see another three golfer playoff this week, just like we did last week.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting tournaments for me. I typically don't do great on these tournaments where these guys where the whole field goes low. It's hard for me. Feels like I'm throwing darts. I sometimes really and truly get super frustrated like I did this past week. So hopefully some of the stuff that I'm looking at this week plays out. I was kind of looking at dudes, Jeff. I was just looking at guys that hit the fairway. I mean, I know this past week we're looking at bombers because there's not very penal out there. But this one, I guess, at least with the 4-inch rough could be bad to hit out of. I was kind of just looking for fairway finders and stuff. It seems like it's going to be a wedge and putting contest. So I don't know. Maybe this is one that you get involved with live on someone that's sitting 4 or 5 off the lead heading into the weekend. Maybe you can get some decent odds on somebody like that.
Yeah, and that's the type of tournament that we'll see an uptick in play on the updated odds and the live odds, like you said, after the first round. Players that are just sitting back, and you might be able to get a better number than pre-tournament you got, but they're not too far off the position, and they can go forward with that. So I would expect to see a little bit more handle this week, just like we had last week on the in-play odds.
All right, I got another play for you. I want your opinion. Ryan Gerard going to go top 20, 2-1 odds. Best finish at the John Deere was in 2023. He was 26th. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, you know, he's been supported by the sharp players the last few weeks. I'd say the last 4 to 6 weeks. And his odds are very respectable at 35-1. And like you mentioned, one time on this course, finishing 26th. So if you do that, you're going to be following suit with the sharp play that we've been seeing on him.
Talking to Jeff Sherman from over at the Westgate Superbook. Jeff, as we look ahead to the last major of the year in the Open Championship, where, you know, obviously Scottie Scheffler is going to be the short shot here, probably followed by Rory McIlroy when it's all said and done. What do we think as far as how this is going to move? The sentiment around Rory seems kind of lame. Right? It seems like everybody wants to fade Rory right now. I imagine everybody loves betting Bryson. Bryson's number probably comes down a little bit. What are you guys looking at, and what do you think is going to end up with that market?
Yeah, I mean, Rory's still sitting short at 7-1. And, you know, the last time that they played this here at Royal Portrush, he missed the cut because he had so much weight on his shoulders about the tournament in Northern Ireland after so many years. So the expectations were a little bit too much for him. And I think he's relaxed a bit after his Masters and Grand Slam victory. But I wouldn't get behind 7-1. I could see that number drifting a bit because we haven't seen too much support on it. Same thing with Bryson, though. We're up to 18-1 on DeChambeau, and we haven't seen the traditional support that we've seen on him yet. But this is a tournament a lot of bettors wait and look at the tee times to see how the weather plays out, mm-hmm. because you can get stuck on the wrong side of the draw here and really not have much of a chance in the tournament just because of that. So, you know, we tend to see a lot of late action for the Open Championship relative to the other three majors.
He is Jeff Sherman, the VP of Risk Management over at Westgate. Jeff, we appreciate the time, man. And hopefully we'll get one of these bets home this week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Reminder, guys, we are now in Charlotte. So welcome to everybody listening to us out there in Charlotte, 24/7 over on WZGV, 7:30 a.m. and 97.5 FM. So right here, be with us every single day. Appreciate you guys up in Charlotte throwing some VSiN on your airwaves up there. 2-2 now, A's and the Rays. And Keith, we're not getting bad Boz and we're not getting good Boz. It's just Boz. He's gave up a home run, but he's got 6 Ks through 4, but he's given up 5 hits along the way. So it's just kind of like, it's a middle of the road performance.
It is it's a mixed bag is what you get.
A mixed bag indeed. When we come back, we have some more first pitches to talk about as well. What does Keith like in that Astros and Rockies game? We're going to have to stick around to find out right here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime, Matt Brown, Keith Irizarry, as we get to a rain delay in the Reds and Red Sox. So this is currently 2-1, Red Sox and Rays in the top of the fourth. And Keith, it's one of those deals where Singer's already thrown 56 pitches. Fitz has thrown 38. I can't say for sure that neither one of them are going to come back out if this thing lasts very long at all. But you got to think Singer close to 60 pitches probably won't. I don't know about Fitz at 38, but that's the weird deal about betting these games where there is potentially some rain trouble is so much of our handicap is tied up in the starting pitchers. And then, you know, this is the weirdest time too. Like they've gone 3. So it's not like they've gone 4 or 5. Are they coming back out? Are they not coming back out? It's all just craziness.
Yeah. It's going to be a game that'll probably give a lot of bettors some fits. See what I did there?
Yes, I love it. That was amazing.
I did that for you.
Yes, that was very, very good. what we do have so far in that one is Duran had a double and scored. Roman Anthony's got a hit in the game. Navarez has a hit. He's got an RBI as well. And then on the red side of things, sacrifice fly for Matt McClain. So that's the 2-1 that we're looking at there. In that one.
Can we stay in the rain delay for a second? Mm-hmm. So did you ever cover minor league baseball at all? I don't know your background, if you ever was part of any minor league.
No minor league baseball coverage for me.
All right. So I did a little bit of like the independent league, okay. Long Island Ducks, the Atlantic League and stuff like that. Rain delays, when you're young and you have like nothing to get home for, you don't have children, you're not married or anything like that. Rain delays are fun. So when I was a reporter with them, I was like 24, 23 years old. We had a couple of rain delays and you end up getting involved in things. You play, we played all different kinds of games, like basically like horse, essentially. Like you do trick shots with bubble gum. Obviously there were card games. They didn't have me be part of that, but it was really anything that could be done in the dugout. Put someone in a cart, roll them as far as you can and just see if they fall or not. Yeah. Rain delays can be fun. Again, if like if you're like married, you got kids and stuff like that, and you want to get home and whatnot, or you know you have another job the next day you got to get to, that's when it gets annoying. But when you're young, yeah. I enjoyed those rain delays.
Basically, sounds
I
like
just
a
remembered a little
sounds
bit.
Like a Savannah Bananas game, just but like every day for them. You know, like that's just kind of like everything that they do. Have you? I mean, not to get too far off topic here, but have you seen? Yeah. Have you seen this? They're selling out every major league stadium they go to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Yeah, because it's the Harlem Globetrotters meets the baseball diamond. It's awesome. Like, it is. It's a lot of fun. And again, you got to remember, too, we live in a world right now where so many people watch reality TV. Mm-hmm. I feel like everything is even like WWE. Like, for how many years have we just said that it is. They're all athletes. They're doing crazy stunts and they're doing crazy things. And yes, there are real injuries and all of that stuff. But it's a soap opera that involves athleticism. Yeah. That's essentially what it is. And reality TV and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I love the Savannah Bananas and everything that they do. If anybody out there is listening and wants me to take part in it, I would throw my services out to you. I would definitely play against the Savannah Bananas for them. Whatever you guys want out there.
I thought it was silly at first until I watched a game, and then the stuff that they do is actually extremely impressive. I mean, catching like flares barehanded and like long fly balls behind their back and all the, you know, stuff like, I mean, it's impressive. It really is. I mean, like, no matter how you look at it, it's impressive.
I was lucky enough. I was part of Blitzball 6. It's the production by John Boy, who's now, you know, has a connection with MLB. I was the sideline reporter in, what was it, the fall? No, in February, right? It is so much fun. So Blitzball, if you don't know, it's essentially kind of like a wiffle ball, basically. Mm. A little bit different than wiffle ball. There's all different kinds of scorings and stuff like that. There's, you know, more, it's more balls than strikes, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Trevor Plouffe is a part of it. So former Major League Baseball player, a couple other guys as well. Chris Rose does the play-by-play. I got into the box a few times. It's a lot of fun. I even did an entire inning for them. It was a little bit of a bit. But they had me as their fielder with my microphone playing the outfield for them. So it was good times.
Yeah. I mean, again, all of this stuff, there's a place for all of this stuff. I know everyone like wants to take everything so seriously all the time, but there's a place for all these stuff. You know, I truly believe that.
Yes.
All right. So let's head over to the diamond for a 5:40 Pacific, 8:40 Eastern first pitch between the Astros and the Rockies. Colton Gordon for the Astros, Chase Dollander for the Rockies, -160. Astros on the road as favorites. Rockies are +131 at home as dogs. 11.5 is our total here in this one. Of course, this is taking place up in Denver. Keith, what are you looking at here?
So I like the Houston Astros in this one. They lead the majors with a 2.93 ERA. Also have 11 saves in the month of June. But I'll go to a batter again. If you followed along anything that I do in the betting world over the last like 7 to 10 years, I love hitter props. That's where I slam it home. So Isak Paredes is the guy that I'm targeting here. We're going to go over 1.5 total bases. -110, very digestible. 3-game hitting streak. That's nothing to, you know, write home about. But 2 or more bases, 2 of his last 3. He is an on-base machine, and Dollander, like you said, has struggled. How about this? He's allowed over 2 homers per 9 innings. So I think if you wanted to, again, I don't typically give out a lot of home run props. Mm-hmm. I would like to, you know, just do, you know, a quarter unit here, sure, a quarter unit there on a home run prop. I think Paredes would be a guy that you could roll with, too, if you wanted to this evening.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I know we look at these massive, you know, these massive totals up in Colorado, and I think people sometimes just think that it's, like you mentioned, like I don't do a lot of home run props either or something, because I think people just think that it's, oh, it's because the thin air and the ball just gets launched. No, it's that ballpark is massive. And like you, every, like a lot of singles are doubles and a lot of doubles are triples and all that, because like it's this cavernous ballpark. And so, yeah, I mean, I get why we look at this and look at those big totals. And I think it's just sometimes though a little bit misunderstood with all that. That being said, we are getting 8-ish to 8 to 10 mile an hour winds blowing out to right center in this one. So we could see a little bit of help there at Coors Field as well. So definitely would only be on your side there in that one. Twins and the Marlins into the 7th. The Twins are not helping out Joe Ryan at all. Joe Ryan has gone all seven innings. He's only given up five hits, and he is losing 1-0 here because they cannot do anything. Cabrera over on the Marlins side has given up only two hits and a walk. He's got six Ks there in this one. I guess the good thing, if you're a Twins fan, he has thrown 93 pitches so far, so he might have to get out of there pretty soon. But just 1-0, Marlins wow. and the Twins here in the seventh inning.
Yeah, Twins have left three runners in scoring position, so that's not cutting it. Castro, he's got, a hit. Lewis has a hit as well for Minnesota. It's funny because Cabrera, when he has it going, is an electric pitcher. He just doesn't always have it going. Tonight, he does.
Yeah, it's another interesting thing, I guess, is, and I don't, you know, a getting in live here on the Twins, considering they're only down 1-0, 3-1 on the money line. They've got two at bats still in this one. Marlins bullpen, not anything to write home about. I don't know. Interesting there. 3-1 on the Twins. If you were, if you're looking for an instant gratification bet, because it's going to be over in two innings, you know, that's one way to look at it, right?
That's not bad. Yeah.
It's one way to look at it. It's an instant gratification bet if you want to go in that direction. Yeah. Let's see what else has happened out here in, we are already in the set. This is moving right along. Cardinals and the Pirates. This is already in the top of the seventh inning. Still scoreless out there in this one. Skeens did get pulled after five there.
Keith. Only 88 pitches. Yeah. I mean, 88 pitches in the five innings is rough. Yeah.
So he did get pulled after five, and I was trying to look at the live odds out there for Cy Young, because I'm not saying that anything is wrong, and I'm just saying that perhaps it's one of those markets where you want to get in on maybe one of these 22-ish, 23, 25. I mean, Logan Webb's 22. Chris Sanchez is 22. Schwellenbach's 22. All these are out there. And Skeens is your favorite. It's a couple starts in a row now, Keith, where he has not looked great. Wheeler is your next guy in line. And then everybody else, man, this is drastically different odds at DraftKings than it is at FanDuel. So definitely shop around whenever you're looking at these odds. You can find Logan Webb is currently 22-1 over at FanDuel.
Wow. Yeah, that's a stark difference.
Yeah, only 9-1 there, DraftKings.
When you look at these, it's not like a veritable who is who, right? This is a rough board. That's why I believe everyone just thought it was Skeens' award to win, but you're on to a little something. He hasn't looked good for 2.5 consecutive starts.
Guys, if you want to bet the horses, we like to do that over at FirstBet, firstbet.com, 1STBET.com. Go in, VEASAN200 is your promo code, and when you use that, you're going to get a 20% rebate on all your wagers up to $200 for the first 60 days. So go in, take advantage of that. Not only can you make the bets, but you can watch your races right there in the app, firstbet.com.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime, Matt and Keith in for the guys today. Is still in a rain delay there in Boston. That is a 2-1 Red Sox over the Reds right now, top of the fourth inning. So we will see how long that lasts and whether the starting pitchers come back out or not. We've moved to the middle of the eighth inning. Still 1-0 Miami over Minnesota, 2-2 Tampa and the, what do we call them, Oakland? What do we call them? Sacramento? What are we calling the ace? Just the ace?
Sacramento.
We'll just call them Sacramento. Scoreless in Atlanta with the Angels and the Braves. Scoreless Baltimore and Texas as well. And the Cubs got across an early win there on Cleveland. 1-0 in the bottom of the second inning. One final across today where Toronto put it all over the Yankees. 12-5 early on there in that one. George Springer, 7 RBI in that game. But right now, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line is Matt Grill. Let's head behind the counter.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
DraftKings trading manager Matt Grill. Matt, how you doing, man?
Hey, Matt and Keith, doing well. Obviously, we've hit the dog days of summer, but that doesn't mean we're not keeping busy. So we've been kind of focusing on some offseason college football over here, some weekly golf, and now that the draft's passed, And of course, for both NHL and NBA, there's kind of hitting a little bit of a low there before we pick it back up. But we actually got an NFL game this month on a July 31st, and you can believe it, the Hall of Fame game. So excited about that here in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we launched the NFL betting guide today here at the network. Never too early. It's always football season here anyway, but certainly never too early to start kind of getting on top of things. But, college football, of course, will get going before the NFL does. And pretty interesting, as you mentioned, some off-season moves that are going on here. And we were talking before we came on that you will get the video game dropping. And with that, do you guys actually see an increase, a spike in action?
Yeah, guys, with the excitement from last year when the game came out for the first time in over 10 years, there's just a lot of anticipation and build up to that. So what we were doing this year is we're going to kind of build off that. So we've got our cover athletes, Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State and Ryan Williams from Alabama. So next week, we're going to be releasing a lot of content kind of circling around the game's release and some of these cover athletes. It's going to be a deluxe edition as well. So keep your eye out next week on site. We're going to have a lot of kind of cool new Heisman props that have never really been offered before anywhere. We're going to have some stuff centered around Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith, like I mentioned, whether it be Heisman or stats. So really excited about that too. We're going to get up some regular season win matchups as we're kind of the home, I feel like, at least for regular season win totals. We've already got those up, the conference win totals only up. We've got the exact wins up. So just every way you can spin it, we're trying to get more and more content every week here in the offseason to keep it fresh.
I can speak as a father of a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old son. Both of them are very fired up about the college football game coming out next week. And actually, cards on table, I enjoy playing them, those games with my boys as well. College football, you got the transfer portal that has changed the landscape of all college sports. How has it changed how people bet on college football?
Well, I'll tell you guys, it's been a lot harder on the bettors and the bookmakers just because I spoke with Tim Murray about this back when we did the podcast a couple weeks back. Just gathering information in the off season now is quite the task. Just trying to find the accurate information. There's a lot more sources out there, but just trying to keep track of literally thousands of guys going to the portal and where they end up is a tough task now. So the books are expected to get out a lot of content a lot earlier now as well. It's kind of just we really turned into a 24/7, 365 sport along with the other ones. The other sports as well. So, it's definitely made our lives harder. But it keeps things where there's still you can still gain an edge out there as a bettor. So it just makes it more interesting every offseason for sure.
Talking to Matt Grill, trading manager over at DraftKings. Matt, Arch Manning, the short shot in the Heisman market currently at 7-1. We have a microscopic sample size of Arch Manning, and yet he is sitting 7-1 in the short shot in the Heisman market. I can only imagine there has to just be ample amount of value out there. I mean, I understand his name's Manning and he was pretty good in the tiny amount of time that we've seen him play, but we don't know if the guy's any good or not.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, sometimes we got to price in the hype and that's what it is. And this is a potential that's priced into here. But I will say this, guys, let's just say, of course, week one, they're going up into Columbus to play Ohio State in a rematch. From a great CFP semifinal. Let's say Texas goes up there, Arch throws from 350. We see 7-1 now. What's going to be if he does that? He'd probably be down to about 2-1, 2.5-1, 3-1. So I really can't blame the people out there who are betting this guy at 7-1. But yes, it's definitely all based on potential. He really hasn't played a really strong opponent. If you look at his games last year, it was against teams like UL Monroe, Mississippi State. So he's going to have to prove it against a big-name team, and he's going to get a chance to do that week one right out of the gate.
Is there a longer shot in college football, not player, team, that you are seeing people kind of take more love to and show more attention to?
Yeah, great question. And there's teams like this every year. I think we were joking about Nebraska the other day. I don't think they've gone over their win total number in about 16 years or whatever it's been, guys. It's almost like laughable. So we're seeing money in them, over money in them like every year. Texas Tech's been very popular in the offseason, bringing in one of the better classes from the portal. I think like a top five or top 10 class from the portal. A lot of people high in Darren Morton. Utah, perhaps in a bounce back after one of the more poor years from Kyle Whittingham. Last year, where things just kind of fell apart with their offense, not really being able to do much. So a lot of people like them to bounce back in a very winnable, wide-open conference in the Big 12. So, Yeah, you kind of see this every summer, guys, where just these kind of popular teams where you get completely one-sided action. That's been the case with us in a lot of these. Another one, you know, Southern Miss, basically the entire Marshall team or half of them coming over to Southern Miss, a lot of high expectations of them. So we kind of mentioned just assessing teams in the offseason with the portal. That's a great example of things, you know, a lot of guesswork going into this, a lot more unpredictable.
Matt, you guys already have up the 2026 first pick in the NFL draft. Of course, that is also Arch Manning, but there is a chance that he decides to go back to school. How does that work if you bet Arch Manning to go number one overall and he decides to go back to Texas?
Yeah, good question. And we usually avoid those. We're trying to be customer friendly with stuff like that. So you're going to get a void if that happens when a player comes back to school. Because, yeah, you're right. That's part of the speculation of this is, you know, are they or are they not going to come out for the draft that year? So, you know, less and less guys are coming out early, fellas, with NIL now. So you know, we're starting to see these 3-, 4-, 5-year players. Now, even if they bounce around to 3 or 4 schools, they're at least kind of down the college range for longer now, which, I mean, me as a college fan, I really like to see. Rather than have these guys that kind of just come in for the 1 year and be gone, you know, kind of like a Cam Newton back in the day, just played, had the one spectacular year with Auburn, and he was off to the NFL. So I'm glad to see these guys sticking around for more years now.
Matt, quickly with the NFL, we have our NFL guide that came out today, and Matt Brown is in on the Broncos. We have Adam Burke in on the Broncos. A lot of people here at VSiN are in on the Broncos. I personally like the Chiefs a little better this year. With that being said, how are you seeing those two teams being bet upon?
Yeah, Broncos and Chiefs, you know, of course, you got the Chargers there in the mix in that division as well. A lot of people think they're going to finally get over the hump and maybe win that division. But, you know, as long as Pat Mahomes is there, I think it's going to be tough for these other teams. Not quite what they were in years past. Of course, we saw a lot of chinks in the armor during the Super Bowl, and you know they just you know glided by in a lot of these games. Probably one of the luckier teams you would see over the course of a season. So maybe they are on the decline here, where a team like the Broncos or Chargers can come up and do well. You know, we'll see how Bo Nix if he continues to progress here for the Broncos. But this you know usually can be a pretty wide open division. Of course, and maybe not without the Raiders. You know, they're just kind of an unfortunate situation here in Las Vegas with them. So it's going to be tough for a team like the Raiders to, I think, do well in that division. But as far as the other three, it could be wide open.
Matt, we've got about 90 seconds left. Shift over to golf here. The John Deere Classic is going down after a birdie fest last week. We're going to get another one here this week without the star-studded field, at least, your short shot being Ben Griffin, and then it goes all the way to 25-1 at Jason Day. Who has been getting the love in the market so far as we head into the John Deere?
Yeah, definitely a story. What have you seen lately? And it's a lot of the guys we saw at the top of the leaderboard last week getting attention this week. Aldrich Podgeter, of course, the winner last week in the 3-way playoff. He's attracting some attention, about a third of the odds he was last week. So I think a lot of people might have missed the boat on him. Jake Knapp, Michael Thorbjornsson, very popular this week. Denny McCarthy, just being a shorter course and being a short course specialist. You know, Ben Griffin as well, like you mentioned, the favorite. But my first click this week, guys, and the only guy I've got so far, I think is a must bet, is Emiliano Grillo. The guy's got 4 top 25s in his last 5 events. He's won before in a short course like this. He's got a second place at this event a couple years back. If you're betting this event this week in the John Deere, try to get Emiliano Grillo on your card.
He is Matt Grill, trading manager over there at DraftKings. Do appreciate the time, my man, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Happy to be on.
Keith, the Rangers keep putting guys on and then not scoring. That doesn't go good for a team total.
No. Yeah. You didn't take the team total basis?
Yeah, I know. Team total basis. apparently, team total basis is the way to go. They keep getting guys on, can't get them across. But
I just come up with a new bet? I mean, did I just come up with a new bet?
We should have just talked to him. We should have just talked to Matt, right? I mean, I don't know. I haven't dug into I just found out the other day that you can bet team to turn a double play. Like, I didn't even know this was like a bet that you could find, but you keep digging down into the menu. I know. You can find all this stuff. Who do we think is going to win all the divisions in the AFC? Find out whenever we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Some prime time here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown, Keith Irizarry. Appreciate you guys being with us. Sirius Channel 158, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app and terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. And Keith, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. I skipped the lead. I waited an hour and
you
45
really did.
I had an hour and 45 minutes and I didn't say happy Bobby Bonilla Day to you.
And it's only 10 more years of it, too. So 2035, it all ends. I don't know if you saw the little documentary, like little piece they did on Front Office Sports. I saw that earlier today. Actually spent some time explaining it to my wife. She didn't realize what it was. And I said it, simply put, was the greatest contract that anyone had ever done for themselves, yeah, like ever. He just gets $1 million every time. It's July 1st. It's amazing.
It is something.
I want that contract.
I mean, seriously, it's just got to be a great feeling. You just wake up every July 1st and you just smile ear to ear in the mirror and just go, man, I did that right. I did that right.
Yeah.
I mean, $1.19 million.
And till 2035, when didn't he retire in like 01 or something like that?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. Unbelievable. But again, good on him, good on his agent, good on whoever thought it up and all of that and whatever. And now we see people defer these things and stuff all the time. Yeah, it's like good on him. He's the OG with all of that. And good on Bobby Bonilla, no doubt about it. Okay, we're talking again football. You know, guys, we talked about this all day on the network. We're going to talk about it all week on the network. Our betting guide is out. Go take advantage of that if you have not done so already. But I want to get into the AFC here, Keaton. This is just I think this one is the biggest no-brainer. We were talking about the power ratings a little bit earlier from Steve Mackin, and those also available in the guide. We said, okay, look, 1, 2, 3, put them in a hat, pull them out. I don't think anyone's going to argue with you, whether it's the Eagles or whether it's the Ravens or whether it's the Bills. So we get to the AFC East. Bills, I cannot imagine an argument being made for the Patriots, for the Dolphins, and certainly not for the Jets to win this division. I mean, this is as clear cut of a winner that there is at all, right? I mean, like there is quite literally there cannot be a division you are more sure about than the AFC East.
This is one of those divisions where the only way the Bills don't win it is if it gets catastrophic. I don't even want to use the I word because I don't want Bills fans to get angry at me. Like, I think everyone can infer what I mean. But that's the only way this doesn't work, right? I think there are ways to attack this division, though. A lot of people are on the over on Patriots, on the wins. A lot of people think they'll top that. I think the Jets could potentially top there. I've seen 5.5 for the over-under on them. I think the Dolphins, with some of the moves they just made, like some people think it's the wrong way, but I also think that the Dolphins could potentially be over their win total. But this is, I don't think there is another division that feels as much of a slam dunk that one team is going to win than this one. I can't find one. If you can, tell us.
Yeah, and I look at it too from the standpoint, it's not like, I know you're not jumping up and down about Mitch Trubisky, but like you mentioned the I word. Okay, say Josh Allen, he runs the ball a lot, rolls an ankle, has to miss 3 or 4 games. Mitch Trubisky's been there. He's done that. He's a pro that's been around, who has been a starter in this league. You can talk about to how effective he was. It doesn't really matter. But the team is so talented. The system seems to work so well that he can probably split those games for you, too, and go 2-2. So you're not even really all that worried unless it's like a super long-term injury, because you actually have a decent backup situation.
Yeah, and that's the other part, is it too, right? Like, you look at the schedule, and you know you're getting the Jets twice. Mm-hmm. Even with Trubisky, you would feel like that would be one win. Mm-hmm. You know you're getting the Patriots twice. Even with Trubisky, you feel like you're getting one win there as well. And then the Dolphins, everyone is kind of divided on this. I am a little bit higher on the Miami Dolphins than some other people, but most people feel like they're probably about a 7 or 8 win team. So if you go by that method, you'd believe that Trubisky could probably get one win in 2 versus Miami. That would mean, you're right, like if you only played in your division with Trubisky, you're 3-3. Mm-hmm. By yeah. those methods.
And so it's just Bills Patriots 1-2 is plus 150. Bills Dolphins 1-2 is plus 290. I know, like, just betting the Bills at minus 260 or 270, whatever it is, so that's not for everybody. It's not for everyone's bankroll. I completely understand that, but you can bet an exact. I don't think you're ever going to play Bills Jets. And so if you like the Patriots, if someone out there is higher on the Patriots, or if someone's out there higher on the Dolphins, again, it's a way to bet that division without having to lay this massive, massive number on the Bills. Bills Patriots plus 150, Bills Dolphins plus 290.
I would go Dolphins. That's the way I would go there. I like I said, I'm a little bit higher on the Dolphins than a lot of other people. I think that Tua, again, I know it always comes back to whether or not he's healthy, but I think that Tua can do some things when he's out there on the field. I think that Tyreek Hill is going to turn things around. I love Jalen Waddle. I know he's another one that got to stay healthy. The running back situation for them is really about as good as any other room. Achan's been good. Jalen Wright gets all the raving reviews out of Miami, or that Jalen Wright could be a starter if there was no Achan. And I think the defense is going to be solid. So I think that I think they're a 9-win team. I know most people feel like 7 or 8. I think they're a 9-win team, and I don't believe the Patriots are. So that's why 1-2 would make sense for me.
And then, Keith, even if you wanted to like take this the next level, say you couldn't decide between the Dolphins and the Patriots, okay, right? Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets, because I think we all believe the Jets are last and we all believe the Bills are first. So Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets, plus 290. Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, 5-1. You could bet both and walk away. I mean, like if you're
like that,
yeah, you could bet both and walk away. So, I mean, that's available over there in the exact order. I am pretty damn sure Bills won and pretty damn sure Jets last. And so you can just bet both of the teams in the middle, walk away with a plus 290 and a 5-1. And then you're going to make money no matter what, so long as it goes the way that we think that it's going to go right there with that one. Okay. So you and I agree on the Bills. We also agree on the Ravens. And I know there will probably be some cases to be made for some of the other teams out there, but man, I just look at this Ravens team, so incredibly stacked on the defense and the offensive side. Lamar just makes it happen every single year. I don't know how invested I am in them to go and how deep they can go in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. But I really, really like the Ravens in this division.
They have everything that you would want. Lamar Jackson is either the best second or third best QB in the NFL right now. You have Derrick Henry, who was really, really good last year. I made the Adam Sandler joke again about the 2,000 yards, but he seems like, you know, he's aging like fine wine. Zay Flowers showed some signs last year. They brought back Rashad Bateman. DeAndre Hopkins comes in. I don't know what he has left in the tank, but I think he can give them a little bit of something. And Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely give you one of the best, you know, 1-2 tight end combos in all of football. On the defensive side of things, they went out there and got Jaire Alexander to already add to a really good secondary with Kyle Hamilton, who some people think is the best safety in all of football. You have Marlon Humphrey and some of the other players. There's really not a flaw on this team. Like, the only flaw on this team was their kicker last year, the guy that was supposed to go to the Hall of Fame, the guy that's now suspended and he's no longer on the roster. So there you go. That flaws out the window.
The South, we both have the Texans as well. And you know, I think this is one where I would listen to anybody that wanted to make to me a case for maybe the Jags, if you wanted to go there or whatever. Like, I'm at least open to listening to your case. That being said, you know, so much injury bad luck last year for this Texans team. So much heading into this season, at least heading in the right direction. I like them. I think that C.J. Stroud is a good quarterback, Keith. I think that, yeah, it was the second year in the league, and they figured out a little bit about him. So he just wasn't absolutely flying through the league like it is rookie season. I still think he is a good quarterback, and I think that he will make some adjustments in the offseason. I do like this Texans team.
Also, every offensive weapon for him was injured at some point during the year last year. So, no, I'm all in on the Texans. I think they're a double-digit win team. I would like to believe in the Jaguars. I was a big fan of Trevor Lawrence, as most people were coming into this league. You got to show it, because he hasn't been able to show it now. And I have a contingency of people that are telling me that the Indianapolis Colts are going to figure it out. I am sorry. If Daniel Jones is potentially the starter on this team, no, thank you. Please, no, 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 no. I'm not a Danny Penny's guy.
Don't you like him better than Richardson, though? I mean, like, isn't it weird to say, though, that that's probably the better option?
No, I don't. I saw too much of Daniel Jones. And I make the joke, you know, because Danny Dimes was the nickname in New York. I call him Danny Pennies.
I like it. Guys, we will circle back around to the West, because we do have some differing opinions there. And we'll talk about our wild card plays a little bit later as well. Over on VSiN.com, we have a splits page. You can go in. You can take a look at what's going on over at DraftKings and what's going on over at Circa. You can compare, contrast. And listen, here's the deal. It's a big national book, a little bit more casual recreational bettors over at DraftKings. And then a little bit little bit sharper, a little bit bigger bet action happening at Circa. Again, go in, see what the, see if there's similarities, see if there's differences, and see if it can help you, guide you in the right direction, or at least make a game seem a little bit more interesting to you. You want to dig in a little bit further and see if there's something that maybe you're missing. You can find that at VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get going for as little as $9.99 on there as well. When we come back, we will continue our football talk, and we will also check in on all of these Major League Baseball games. It's VSiN Primetime.